with information on the latest developments in assistive technology and initiatives. From the studios of 2RPH in Sydney, RPH Australia brings you AbleQuest. Hello, I'm Barbara Sullivan. On July the 27th, Sydney Harbour welcomed the tall ship Tenacious, which arrived from England after a lengthy voyage. Purpose-built by 1,500 volunteers to be totally accessible, she is crewed by 40 able and less abled bodies. Before Tenacious reached Australia, Marnie Roper interviewed Peter Mitchell, project manager for Jubilee Sailing Trust, a charity which uses the adventure of tall ship sailing to unlock human potential. If you missed this interesting segment of AbleQuest, which aired on July the 22nd, it's available as a podcast on the 2RPH website. Tenacious is sailing the southeastern corner of Australia for the next 6 months, going to Melbourne, Adelaide, Hobart, and then back to Sydney. Paying berths are still available for day sails or longer, both for able-bodied and less able-bodied people to participate as crew. Marnie visited the ship at its berth in Darling Harbour and had the pleasure of meeting one of the intrepid crew, Anna Wall. Anna is an English university student who has undertaken many voyages with Jubilee Sailing Trust, but never down in the Antipodes. For today's AbleQuest, Marnie talked to her about what life on the ship is like, particularly for someone in a wheelchair. In Anna's words, "In terms of physical access, I can't imagine anywhere better in the world than the ship."
Anna, welcome to 2RPH and indeed Sydney. Now, you sailed in on Tenacious. What was it like to arrive into Sydney like that? I was actually up on the headland watching you come in and it looked magnificent.
It was incredible, especially at the end of such a long voyage as well. It was lovely to finally reach our destination. But we had the two other ships, I think it was the Southern Swan and the James Craig, came out to sail in with us. And lots of people watching and a helicopter filming and stuff like that. So it was really...
Tug was out spraying with water for you?
Yeah, we had a fireman tug or something, I think, that kept getting us wet, but I probably shouldn't complain because it looked good on the photos. And coming under the bridge was proper bucket list moment. It was, I'll just never forget it. It was absolutely incredible.
And they managed to get a couple of sails up, or even though you were coming into a headwind?
Yeah, as we came round into the head, captain sort of decided that we had to have some sail as we were coming in. I think we had a few of the squares out for about 10 minutes, but then, yeah, it was 30 knot wind on the nose, so we couldn't really sail into that. But it looked good for the photos, and it gave us something to do to earn our lunch, really, bring the sails out and bring them back in again.
And was all the crew up on deck?
Yeah, one of the voyage crew members called Lucilla actually got to be the lucky person on the helm as we came in. But all of us were out there, and none of us wanted to miss that and kind of kept running from side to side as someone went, "Oh, it's the Opera House," or, "Oh, you can see the bridge." So it was incredible.
Tell us, what was the road that brought you here? Tell us a little bit about your background.
At the moment, I'm a uni student, and I found out about the Jubilee Sailing Trust about 2 years ago and started sailing with them, just doing local sails around Europe and England with them. And then these kind of bigger trips came out, and it turned out she was sailing to Australia. So I joined this time in Fiji, and the voyage was 32 days to get to Sydney.
When you were doing the first lot of trips, were you on Tenacious?
Yeah, I've only sailed on Tenacious, but they do have another ship, the Lord Nelson, but it just turned out the voyages I wanted to do have always been on Tenacious, and they were mostly 7 to 15-day voyages. I did some of the tall ships races in Norway and Holland a few years ago, and then some shorter trips to Bruges and France last summer that were really good fun.
And full crew on board?
Yeah, so there's always the 8 to 10 permanent crew who are sort of the paid crew to be there. And then there's room for up to 40 voyage crew, which is what we all are, who pay to go. But obviously you're working the ship, so you're always on watch or helming or helping in the galley, which is the kitchen. So she can have up to 53 people living on board.
And of these is your mixed abilities, aren't you?
Yes, we are.
And you're in a wheelchair?
Yes, I've been disabled from birth. And I use a wheelchair all the time. But the JST can help anyone with any sort of disability to come sailing. So we have, within our mixed ability crew, we have crew who might be visually impaired, have a hearing impairment, or have any sort of other form of physical disability that might mean that they're a little bit unsteady on their feet, what we call wobblies, or that they might need a wheelchair, which we call wheelies.
And what do you call the able-bodied?
They're ABs.
Yes.
Or that lot, you know.
That lot.
But the ship can be sailed with a crew that is up to 50% PDs, so physically disabled, and so half and half able-bodied and physically disabled, and we can still sail her properly.
And you can all do virtually everything?
Yeah, the ship is just designed so fantastically so as to not stop anyone from kind of doing any tasks. So all of the ropes that you need to pull can be reached from the deck level. And she set out to be kind of as easy to get around as possible in a wheelchair. Obviously, there's some restrictions on who can go climbing when it comes to climbing to set sails, because you need to be able to climb up there independently to help with that. And you need to get people up there quickly if we're taking a sail down or putting it out. But everyone can have a go at climbing the mast at some point. So you might just have to do it in a quieter moment where you can have a safety line on you or a member of the permanent crew going up with you to make sure that you're safe. And then if you want to go up aloft in your wheelchair, that normally happens in port or at anchor, because they obviously need to set up the correct pulleys to get you up there.
And there's special platforms.
Yes. So where we take wheelchair users to is on the foremast, which is the furthest forward mast. And there's a platform up there that they can haul you up to. And you can then be lowered down onto that, sit up there and look at the amazing views and kind of experience what it's like to be up in the rigging.
And have you done that?
I've done it once. I did it on my first ever trip, but I'm a bit of a wimp with heights. So I did it to say I've done it and haven't done it again since. But well, I know lots of wheelchair users who do it every time.
Well, I've been on the ship, as you know, when I first met you, just to have a look around. And I have to say, I think you're very brave to have gone up once.
Thank you. Yeah, I just prefer just staying down on deck where, I know where everything is and I know I can be helpful and kind of do stuff. Because the idea of the ship is if you aren't capable of doing one task, there'll be another task that's just as important that you can do. So if you're not very good at pulling on the big heavy ropes, because maybe you're not so strong, that there are other lighter ropes that are doing just as an important a job, but require kind of different skills to haul on them. So it's set up that there aren't tasks that you're kind of pushed out the way for. Everyone is needed with everything that needs doing.
And does everyone get a turn on the helm?
Yeah. So the way life on board the ship works is the voyage crew are split into four groups called watchers. And those watchers take it in turn to be up on the bridge and in charge of the ship. It works roughly 4 hours on duty, 8 hours off duty. And so the time you're on duty, between your watch, you're doing the lookout, keeping the log, helming the ship, obviously all with the supervision of a member of the permanent crew. If it's a night watch, you're in charge of waking up the next crew to come and relieve you and just making sure the ship's safe. So for those 4 hours, your team of up to 10 people is completely in control of the ship.
And you said you started your voyage in Fiji. Tell us about that voyage.
It was really, really good fun. The South Pacific Islands are somewhere I never thought I'd go. So we went from Fiji. We then sailed for, I think, about 4 days to Vanuatu, where we went to Port Vila, which was absolutely beautiful. And we had 3 or 4 days there. And then we sailed from there for about another week to Noumea in New Caledonia. And we actually ended up having 4 days there, and just going to the beaches and exploring. And then the crossing over to Sydney from there was the rest of the voyage. I think we had about 12, 13 days at sea in between the two, and then coming into Sydney. It was great. We had really nice weather. We never got too cold and lots of good sailing wind.
And what was the best part for you?
Obviously, the great sailing is one thing, but an individual memory that stands out for me is one night the sky was just completely clear of cloud. And me and some of my friends from my watch went and lay up on the foredeck underneath the stars, and you could just see every bit of the Milky Way that was possible to see and all the constellations. And it was quite a calm night, so the ship was just rocking gently. And we must have lain up there for about an hour and a half just talking under the stars, and that's quite special.
And the Southern Cross?
I can now recognise the Southern Cross, because obviously it wasn't a constellation I knew before. And I know there's clever tricks you can do about finding which way south from looking at the angles of it and stuff. So there's always someone on board who knows a lot about stars. So they end up, every time it's starry, we all go and say, like, what's this? What's that one?
And what about the living arrangements on the ship?
As I said, there's the sort of 8 to 10 permanent crew, and they live in a slightly separate bit towards the aft or stern of the ship. And then the voyage crew all live down below, either in the forecastle, which is towards the front, which is, because it's a bit more open and also a slightly more awkward shape, tends to be where the AB voyage crew live. And then slightly further back of that, you have 8 cabins that are just separated off by a curtain from a corridor, and that's where the PD voyage crew and their buddy live, so the person who might help look after them a bit more, that's where you live, and they're just a little bit bigger, that space in it, so it has space for your wheelchair next to your bunk, which you wouldn't have up in the forecastle with everyone else.
And we know the ship is purpose-built to accommodate a range of disabilities, including wheelchair access, obviously. Mm-hmm. Were there any challenges for you?
Not in terms of access. I think living with 50 other people for a month often has its challenges. But in terms of physical access, I can't imagine anywhere better in the world than the ship, because, of course, it's specifically designed for it.
So you have your own little lift, don't you?
Yeah, so there's the obvious things that you might think of, like lifts and ramps and things like that. But then there's also less obvious features. So a lot of the tables and compasses and the chart table are height adjustable, so that you can see them from in your wheelchair. There's also, we have things like a speaking compass to allow blind people to helm the ship, vibrating pads that you can put under mattresses in case the alarm goes off and someone has a hearing impairment, so that they know that the alarm's sounding. And all sorts of clever things like that, and little rails on the decking to help blind people navigate around the ship.
And
all the things that you wouldn't think of, and braille everywhere as well, yeah.
Now, when I first met you on board Tenacious, you were busy varnishing. Is this part of the package?
It wasn't, no. So alongside the voyages that you can pay to go on, she obviously takes a lot of work to keep running as a ship. So we have what are called maintenance periods. And part of the completely unique features of Tenacious is that she was built, sailed, and maintained by a mixed ability crew. So you can just find out when the maintenance periods are by looking on our website, and you can sign up and come along. You're not paid, but they do give you food and a beer at the end of the day, and you're put to doing whatever tasks fit your capabilities. So again, obviously I'm not sent up the rigging, but I'm perfectly capable of sanding and varnishing and things like that. So I love the maintenance periods because you really find out how the ship works by taking her apart and putting her back together again. So they're good fun, but no, you don't have to do things like that.
And then you're staying in Australia, but you're off to Melbourne. Are you rejoining the ship down there?
I'm not staying on overnight, but I think on the 17th we have an open day in Melbourne. So I'll probably go down and help with meet and greet and cleaning up the ship before and afterwards with that. So I get to see her one last time before I fly home, but I won't be living on board, no. Sadly.
Presumably won't stop your journeys on Tenacious or...
I won't. I think my voyages might have to be more on Lord Nelson now, because she's going to be staying in British waters until I think about July next year, where she's heading out to Canada. I might go out to Canada next summer. I haven't quite decided yet, and I need to look at my bank as well. But Lord Nelson is staying in British waters for the time being, so I'll probably sail on her a bit more.
And so it's back to university for you, Anna?
It is. It is. I have to go and be sensible again.
Anna, it's been absolutely wonderful to have you and hear about this. Just an adventure, absolute adventure, isn't it, on board this ship?
Yeah, I would say that if you ever fancy doing anything different with your life for just 6 or 7 days, it's the perfect way to try something completely new, is going on one of these ships. And they're such a breath of fresh air in terms of how easy they are to get around on and how great everyone's attitude is on board.
And see, people just need to have a look on the Jubilee Sailing Trust website for all the details.
Yeah, it's jst.org.au. I think if you're booking out here, that will have all the details on it.
You have just been listening to AbleQuest, a program that looks at developments in assistive technology and initiatives. From Barbara Sullivan and Marnie Roper, thank you for listening. And goodbye till next programme.